Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The loveracing.nz update. Your home for everything thoroughbred racing. Visit loveracing.nz, racing's biggest fan.
And our guest this morning, as we look at racing over the weekend, is George Simon. There might be some concern about George Simon, maybe more so from the Warriors' point of view. But there might be some smoke coming out of his ears as well. Probably lucky that we can't actually see George at the moment. But George, let's talk to, and good morning to you. Let's talk about the good things first of all. Racing did proceed at Riccarton. Sassy Merlot won the Easter and No Rain Ever winning the Woolstock.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Smithy. Good morning to you. I'm sure we'll get into what happened at Ellerslie on Saturday. But on the positive side, We did see racing at Riccarton. We also had a couple of, we had six races at Ellerslie before the abandonment, but at Riccarton, yeah, it was a good day's racing down there. Unlike Auckland, the weather played its part down in Christchurch at the weekend. We saw Green Luck win the Canterbury Gold Cup. He's an interesting horse. He's been all over the world, basically. He's raced in Hong Kong, he's raced here, he's raced in Europe. He's getting on in age as well, but aided by a lovely front-running ride by Kylie Williams, took out the Canterbury Gold Cup. The Bill Thurlow train, No Rain Ever, took out the War Step Stakes, and there was a nice effort too in the hands of Lily Sutherland and Spicy Merlot, a bit of a tonic for Mike Moraney, who's been in hospital for the last couple or so weeks, of course, in Melbourne. But Sassy Merlot, trained by Mike and Pam Gerard out of their Matamata base, took out the Great Easter Stakes, which was wonderful to see, capping off some pretty good efforts up in the north throughout its career, but got some black type, of course, winning that the Great Easter Stakes.
George, across the Tasman too, Kiwis to the fore, James Cumming, James McDonough winning the Champagne Stakes, Mick D involved in the All Age Stakes, and of course Bjorn Baker, who doesn't mind a trip to Perth.
Yeah, Bjorn Baker is one of the characters of Australasian racing. He's really done a fantastic job since he relocated after training for a few years in partnership with his Hall of Fame trainer, father, Murray Baker, of course. But he's doing a great job. He won the Quokka, went back-to-back with the winner. And, of course, we had New Zealand representation in the race with Waitaka. I think he was far from disgraced in the Quokka. He got a long way back after a tardy beginning. He was doing his best work on the line, but they just went a little bit too quick. But, yeah, the day belonged to Bjorn Baker once again, winning the Quokka for the second year in a row. And just a walking advertisement for all things Perth racing is Bjorn Baker at the stage, Smithy. We also saw Mick D win the All-Age Stakes, of course, Group 1 race at Randwick aboard Magic Time. He's a wonderful jockey, Mick D. He just probably doesn't get the kudos. He flies under the radar, so to speak, and I say that, pun intended, of course. Recently, he got his helicopter's license, got his own helicopter, and he flies himself to the races these days. But the joys of success, I suppose. But yeah, he flies under the radar. He just does his business on the track and kicks home winners. And he picked up another Group 1 win. Speaking of which, Jay Mack was at it again. That was his 13th Group 1 win for the season. And when he won the Champagne Stakes and on Saturday, the record number of Group 1 wins for any jockey in a season is 16, set by Malcolm Johnson way back in the day. He's on 13 at the moment with the Queensland Winter Carnival come up and his regular trips to Hong Kong as well. you know, there's every possibility that that James could set a new record for the most number of Group 1 wins in a season currently held by Malcolm Johnson. But he won the Champagne Stakes aboard broad siding for James Cummings and the team. And, yeah, his 13th Group 1 success for the season, James McDonald, he's one of the very best. Another New Zealand jockey that kicked some goals at the weekend too, Smithy, was Daniel Stackhouse, who won the Mornington Cup. Mm. And it's wonderful to see him doing the business as well. He's been Melbourne's premiership-winning jockey last season. He's certainly been plying his trade with success in Melbourne for a number of years now. And I remember when he was starting out here in New Zealand, you looked at him and you thought, mate, you're going to struggle with your weight. He was, he had a fair bit of size about him as far as the jockey is concerned, but with a bit of dedication, bit of commitment, and the opportunity that he was afforded in Melbourne, in particular in Victoria Racing over the years, he's doing a fantastic job. So he won the Mornington Cup, and our very own Michael McNabb picked up a winner on the last race of the program too at Mornington on Saturday, which was wonderful to see. Got there in a great finish. So McNabb even flying the New Zealand jockey's flag.
Yeah, absolutely. George, they were all the positives, and now we have to get to the other side of the ledger as such, although you did get the Trelawney's Championship Stakes in for Moonlight Magic and Craig Grills, and a lot of people were saying that Andrew Forsman was going to have a good day at Ellerslie, but it was incomplete. Now, we've talked to you not that long ago about a Wednesday one that was knocked on the head. Now we come to a decent, serious day of racing with good money up, George, and you have to go through it all again and get on the intercom and explain to the public once more.
It's just not good enough, is it? It's just not good enough. I can sense the frustration from within the racing fraternity, from all quarters. I haven't got the answers, mate. I don't know what's required. I'd like to see a track that we can have confidence in and that we can rock on up to the races at Ellerslie and have confidence. The interesting thing, when I arrived on track the other day, and I bumped into a few people, and a lot of people had the previous Wednesday's abandonment in their minds and thinking, how is this track going to play? Compounding that issue was the weather. The weather was atrocious on Saturday. I was a bit surprised personally that they elected to race on Saturday. I thought they may delay it 24 hours and go on Sunday, because the weather forecast for Saturday afternoon in particular in Auckland was atrocious. And as it was a terrible day weather-wise anyway. I thought maybe they could delay it 24 hours. That wasn't entertained. We rocked on up to Ellerslie. We had six races. Looking forward to the feature race of the day, the time-honoured Manco Easter Handicap. Horses come into the parade ring. Next minute, there's a track inspection with the jockeys, the stipendiary stewards and the club officials. And whenever you see that on a track, it's not a good feeling. So we sat there, and eventually the news came through that the meeting was abandoned. It was abandoned due to a horse slipping in the previous race in the Trelawney Championship Stakes. Lanakai, ridden by Matt Cameron, slipped without being interfered with by any other runner, on its own accord, coming towards a home turn. And I think the writing was on the wall as soon as we saw the footage of that horse slipping in those circumstances. It was hugely disappointing, for everyone, for the race sponsor, Brian Black, who had a horse in the race as well. He sponsored the Manco for many years. For those who had horses in the last two races, I know of one trainer who took, she's only got a small team, she took a horse to Ellerslie Wednesday a week ago, and it didn't get the opportunity to run around in the last race because the meeting was abandoned prior to that. She took a horse to the Ellerslie meeting on Saturday as well, was going around in the last race. Of course, we didn't get there. So not only are the big time has been affected, but the rank and file, dare I say it, with all due respect, but yeah, everyone's just pulling their hair out, mate. I don't know. Maybe you can tell us what we need to do.
I wish I knew. I don't even know much about cricket pitches, to be honest, George, and I spent half my life on one. But here's the thing. it can't continue, for one. And the other thing is, are we looking at human error here? Did they rush things and trying to get back for the Karaka night, for the big launch? I mean, were they a bit impatient in the bedding down of the surface? Or if not, have they just got the wrong surface and this is going to be ongoing?
Yeah, look, they're all valid questions. Look, I think, personally, I think the Karaka Million race night was the build-up, the anticipation of that particular meeting. I don't think I've ever felt that level of anticipation, and so many people looking forward to a race meeting as we endured and experienced in the build-up towards the Karaka Million. We rocked on up that night at the Ellerslie track. We had the Australasian racing scene, breeding scene here. They were here for the sales as well. Look, they were slipping and sliding after the first race that night. There were six races that night. There were three races worth in excess of $1 million. The decision to continue wasn't made lightly, but I think what we took out of that meeting was that the jockeys were able to get around that track, and to, obviously, everybody's been talking about the amount of money that was up for grabs and how much was at stake, especially on the eve of the New Zealand bloodstock yearling sales and with the international visitors there that night. But we got through that night. That may have set a rod to break the back for going forward, because then everybody thought, okay, well, the jockeys will continue to ride this track. But we get to the next meeting, or a few meetings along the track, and there's a bit of slippage, and we're going home. But then you look at it, and I've heard it said from one or two people, it was because there are no million-dollar races on the program. Now, horse and jockey safety is paramount, and I know that. The stipendiary stewards know that. And so under the Health and Safety Act, we have to provide safe working environment. When there is an element of danger, when there is an element of non-safety, there's only one thing to do. But the thing is, they did it on Karaka Million night and got through the night.
Mm. Yeah, that is. I get what you're saying, George, and it is. It's almost the saying, like money talks, but you actually wouldn't want to say that out loud. Hey, on a more positive note, George, racing again this week. What's the program? What are we looking forward to?
Yeah, look, we've got races, obviously Antac Day on Thursday, but we've got races up here in the north on Friday at Matamata. We were there last week. I've got to give a bit of a shout out to the team at Matamata, because there's some couple of tracks up here in the north with Ellerslie being out for such a long time, Avondale not racing there currently, Te Araha not racing as well at the same time. And some of these tracks have stood up, particularly Matamata and also Pukekohe. They've done a tremendous job. So I think kudos, on a much more positive note, to those involved with the track maintenance of both Matamata and Pukekohe. I think they've done a fantastic job. We'll be back at Matamata on Friday, and then of course on Saturday, from a northern perspective I'm speaking of, we are at Te Rapa for the first time in a few weeks. Looking forward to that. One positive out of the abandonment of the Manco Easter meeting on Saturday at Ellerslie is that race will be staged at Te Rapa this Saturday. It'll be a good day too, because it was traditionally the Cambridge Jockey Club meeting featuring the Travis Stakes and the Cambridge Breeders Stakes. So those races will be on that program. They've all come under the Waikato Thoroughbred Racing umbrella these days, of course. But at least those connections who had the disappointment of not having seen their horses compete in the Manco Easter at Ellerslie on last Saturday, they get that opportunity to see them compete in a time-honoured race at Te Rapa on Saturday, which I think we're all grateful for.
George Simon, thanks for your honesty. Thanks, I can hear it in your voice, your concern. And your review of the weekend as well. We cross our fingers going forward. And literally, when it comes to Ellerslie, at the moment, that's all you can do. George, have a terrific week. Thank you.
Cheers, Smithy. All the best, mate. Thank you.
Yeah, cheers. Okay, right. I didn't even get a chance to talk about the Warriors with George. Interesting. Yeah, he'd have an opinion on that too. He wouldn't have been happy with that performance, George. It is 10:37. Back with some football very shortly.